Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Overnight, we saw that there have been a number of resignations of parliamentary, well, actually not parliamentary, of, I suppose, politicians, let's call it that. And I just thought, well, let me try and understand why. And also, I want to find out what can we expect from the President's State of the Nation address this coming Thursday. So we got hold of Thamasank Malinga. Tami Malinga, who is a political consultant at Makabayi Management Consultants. Morning, Tami. How are you?
Good morning, KB. I'm fine, and good morning to your listeners at home.
Oh, your voice is like rich coffee. You could read a telephone directory to us this morning.
Sure, okay. I've been contented into
it. Tami, who has resigned? What positions did they resign from, and why did they resign?
Well, the only resignation that we currently know of, which is a resignation and no resignation, is that of the deputy president, who has announced it at his brother's funeral over the weekend.
Yes.
Well, it was a no-brainer. And for me, it was expected. I have said it over the past couple of weeks at the national broadcaster that I know he's resigned. You know, with that position, especially of the deputy president, the one thing that you do not want to befall you when you hold that position is the term recalled. Since the days of Thabo Mbeki, it is an albatross around your neck if you're going to leave that position with the term that you've been recalled. It is more like your organization has lost faith in you. You are incompetent, and we do not want you in that position. So you leave that position being an outcast of your organization. So he's jumped to the gun now to say, I'd rather leave on my own terms, which is not surprising at all. The man has been absent, since day one. So he felt it, let me rather leave on my own terms. And he probably saw it that if I leave, still I leave with all the pecs. So now the president, we've been told that he says that the deputy president still holds the office. I think the president, if you remember, during the January 8th statement, he says that they're building the unity of the movement. So President Ramaphosa still wants the people to see the movement as being united. The center is holding. I've said it before that the ANC wants to be seen to be controlling the whole process. Now they do not want the deputy president to leave and creating an impression that, you know, that unity that they constantly speak of is not in existence. Also, given the fact that the deputy president Thabete Mabuza has even voiced the fact that you can see that the deputy president of the ANC, Paul Mashatile, really wants this position. So he's giving people the impression that there is so much ambition within the ANC that cadres are prepared to stab each other in the back, you know. So that is the only resignation that we've only heard of. We've seen newspapers are saying that Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma is surviving the chop. That is likely because there is a case that is currently happening with Sakhalika saying, show us all the records that have led you to take the decisions that you took during the national state of disaster with the COVID that had gripped the country. So she might be kept so that she continues with that. You know, that is also another political food game that is taking place. Who else are we expecting to be out of the cabinet? Lindiwe Sisulu was vocal in terms of saying she's not prepared to serve under the current president. That is going to be a political football. The president might try to retain her in some portfolio or the other. because she doesn't want to upset those who follow her, and she's also seen as part of the ANC royalty. But for me, she served her time, and she is one of those ministers who do not, you know, have a great legacy. I mean, if you could say to her, terms of all the positions that you've held before, what is it that you've done? Basically, there's nothing that stands out for me. So she's one that also needs to go. There's quite a lot. Stella Ndabeni Abrahams is one. People might say she's one of the young leaders that are up and coming. But also, there's nothing that she can show besides the fact that in terms of 4IR, the only legacy that she can show is her coming up with a nicely tailored suit that had 4IR embroidered on it. But she has nothing to show in terms of policy and any idea that she's put forward in terms of moving the country towards 4IR.
That is true.
She also needs to go.
It's so interesting how many ministers just keep getting, you know, reassigned to their same departments that have been dysfunctional for decades.
Yes.
Why is that? Who's making these decisions?
This is the problem, because I think that is why the DA eventually went to court and say, give us all your records in terms of your deployment, because we want to understand the rationale behind your decisions. Because if you look at it, there has been quite a lot of you guys moving ministers around, and there has been no delivery in terms of your deployment. So we now need to understand from you, the president, as the head of the deployment committee, your decisions have been poor, so to speak. You know, there has been no delivery in terms of that. So we want to understand, has it been your decision as the head of the deployment committee, or has it been the decisions of a collective within the ANC? So that will help. If the DA wins that battle, and to an extent that we are able to get those records and they are put out for everyone to see, we will be able to see whether this has been a collective decision or an individual decision. I believe that it's a collective decision that has constantly gone south over the decades, not only during the term of the current President Ramaphosa as the head of the Deployment Committee, but prior to him as well. This has been a collective decision that has taken the country down, because most of these guys that have been deployed have been just been deployed on the basis of comradeship rather than on the basis of what is it that you can do for the country, what is it that you can be able to do based on the policies that have been there. So these guys have basically been giving each other jobs to the detriment of the country.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's all very well having the list and seeing who, you know, seeing where the CADA deployment is, but what power do we have as South Africans to change that and say, rather get rid of this person and put somebody who has the skills and the will to serve the people? I mean, it just feels like we are fighting this really big uphill battle.
I think this is where I've always said that with this political reform that I've written so much about, in terms of how is it that we can make a voice through the electoral act. So this now tells us that we also need now to say, how is it that we can make our voices heard through the constitutional reform as well? Because one, if you take a look at the issue of the deputy ministers, the constitution says the president may appoint deputy ministers. It says, it doesn't say that he must, it says that he may. So basically, those that wrote the constitution have left it to him to say he may. In other words, if you take that statement, That statement also says that in a way, he may not. So we basically do not need minister, deputy ministers. One, because if you look at it, they do not make, they do not form part of the cabinet. Hence, they do not get to act. So one, we need to, as citizenry say, take the government to court. I always say that we are past the days of marching and delivering memorandums. We are now in the days where let's use our constitution to take our government to court to say, one, we do not want the minister, the president to appoint deputy ministers. The constitution allows for that. So he must not appoint deputy ministers because, one, they are just jobs for PALS. And two, if he appoints ministers, he needs to actually look at skills. When was the last time a skills audit was done in terms of appointing ministers?
Yes.
I mean, I do not understand when you have to appoint a minister of police, you take a teacher in the form of Begicele. I do not understand when you have to appoint a minister somewhere, you also take a former teacher in the form of forgot the guy who was the president, Dumo Dlamini, who was the president of COSATU. I think he was a nurse or something, you know, and you put him to be a deputy minister in some department. So we need now, when we see these records, and we need to as citizenry use those powers that we see in the constitution and get these bodies that are out there to act for us, to say, can we get the president to do a skills audit and make sure that he appoints people that really understand these roles, because they have you know, the necessary skills. They have worked in those sectors. So we are past the days. For me, we are past the days of delivering memorandums. We now need to use the courts to be able to put the president under pressure to get him to actually appoint people with the necessary skills, not just appoint comrades in this our cabinet and our government becomes a jobs for PALS scheme.
Yeah, which it has been for a very, very long time. Tami, thank you so much for your time, and I'm sure that it is not the last time that we will be speaking here on 101.9 Chai FM. That's Tom Sankwa Malinga, who is a political consultant at Makabai Management Consultants. Aside from his voice, which is just magnificent, I mean, just such smart, and you can hear the guy knows what he's talking about. Absolutely incredible.